Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
Oh boy, I'm Chris Lambert.
I'm Travis Bean. We run filmcolossus.com, and today we're not going to cover a song. What? Twist? What?
Tell me more.
We're going to listen to somebody's story.
Ah, this is our third My Story.
Yes. Numero tres.
Who do we got today, Travis?
We have a very special lady. A lady!
A lady!
We actually know ladies.
It's pretty amazing.
That's Kanye West.
Yeah, which is pretty great. That was one of the first things I asked my girlfriend. I was like, what's your relationship status with Kanye? And she was like, what? I don't know Kanye. I was like, okay, that's good.
I've been going through my online music rating account and deleting anybody who doesn't like The Life of Pablo. It feels really great.
That's a fair assessment, because there are people that just think like, oh, that album sucks. And you're like, you know what? You as a human being just don't have good judgment.
But this person does. Her name is Lauren Kelly.
Oh. Yeah.
Welcome, Lauren. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. Riveting.
Riveting stuff.
I am actually very excited to be here.
Yay.
I am an avid follower of this podcast and Kanye West himself.
Yes, we're all followers.
You might have to be.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty good to talk with somebody that listens to the podcast and likes the podcast.
Yes, and a woman. I was beginning to question you too.
Yeah, it only been
the questions too.
Five guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, so we're gonna be talking with Lauren about her favorite Kanye moments, and we'll get into Travis and mine's favorite Kanye moments. Not our favorite Kanye moments together, but separately
in our lives. We might have some together.
We might. We might. One missed opportunity.
Yeah. We'll get into it.
Yeah. First, we have Kanye news. Travis, what's the Kanye news?
The Kanye news is T-Lop is available for everyone everywhere. You can get it on Spotify, Apple, you can download that shit on his website. It's great.
And the best thing I recommend doing is ordering a pizza and then going into your car to pick up the pizza. Don't have that shit delivered. You go driving and you have the windows down. You have Pablo blaring out pretty much Silver Surfer intermission on repeat.
On repeat, yes.
And you pick up your pizza and come back and just head bob.
Yeah. I like to throw in one clip of Lowlights into my Silver Surfer repeat. But other than that, yeah, I agree. That's perfect.
Yeah. It's that and I Love Kanye. Just...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I find myself just saying the lines from I Love Kanye constantly.
It's like quoting a movie. It's honestly the best.
Yeah. Lauren can attest to the fact that I'm just constantly saying lines from The Life of Pablo.
Totally. It's like T-Lop and Superbad are like one saying that.
Yeah.
You know all the words to Superbad, and now you know all T-Lop. And they're so applicable to daily life.
Yeah, they really are.
That's the real thing.
I've been walking around and just sort of like under my breath or out loud around people being like, I need every bad bitch up at Equinox.
I'm constantly saying that.
Why don't we have an Equinox?
If we only had an Equinox.
Yeah, there's no Equinoxes in Minneapolis?
No.
No, not that I'm aware of.
I don't think we're fancy enough.
Yeah.
It's probably time that you two franchise out an Equinox.
Ooh, and get all the bad bitches.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
Bad bitches only, actually.
Up in it.
Yeah, exactly.
You have classes that are all just Kanye themed.
Only to Kanye music and beats.
Yeah.
Do you think they're, sorry, deviating, you know those word generator things? Like, they have an Arnold one online, and
yeah.
it cuts polls aren't all, like,
right.
his voice, and you can make him say anything?
Oh.
We could have Kanye lead the classes.
Oh, wow.
With one of those generators.
Holy
That's
shit.
Genius.
Do you think he would like that?
I think he would love that. Actually, he would legit love that.
That would be amazing. I would work out there so much.
I know. I would like lose so much weight. I would get so ripped like within like a month because I'd be so motivated.
That is if we actually work out and don't just talk to Kanye.
That's true. You could have a conversation with Kanye.
We could
and whatever you want.
We could even come up with new workout plans that have.
Oh yeah.
Kanye as a base. Oh my goodness, this is such a good idea.
All right, I'll start drafting a business plan.
I'll cut this out of the podcast because I don't want anyone stealing it.
Of course, that would be awful. Can we patent this?
Yeah.
I think we copyright it immediately.
Gotcha.
I'm sure Kanye West holds no grounds over us.
No, this falls under fair use, right? We're just using his likeness and his words and his voice for profit. Yeah. Well, Jay-Z news. What Jay-Z news do you have?
My Jay-Z new is, Jay-Z was just kind of out for a stroll one day. He escaped from his detail, his team, and there was no paparazzi around and found a boomerang.
Okay.
And he just started throwing the boomerang and thinking about how the boomerang always comes back to him and how that differs from a frisbee, where if you throw a frisbee in one direction, it just goes that way. And if there's no one there to catch it, you have to go get it. And he started thinking about how his career had become a boomerang. He was stopping himself from that boomerang moving backwards into the past and stopping Jay-Z from going back to his roots and really getting back to what inspired him back in the Reasonable Doubt era.
Wow.
So he said he wants to stop being a frisbee. He wants to be a boomerang that's free.
Holy
so he's announcing his next album very soon.
Okay.
That's huge news.
Yeah. I was kind of speculating though, he could have just been throwing a boomerang. How about you, Chris?
Well, I guess in that vein, you're talking about Jay-Z's sense of freedom, and freedom of self and freedom of expression, and that pretty much fits with what I had heard from their chef. I had been talking with J&B's chef, and he said that Jay's bought Crocs. He finally decided that comfort was more important than fashion.
Wow.
And this has been a huge issue because, you know, he's wearing these fancy suits, these fancy clothes, but then he's walking by in Crocs. And a lot of the staff at their compound has been snickering as Jay-Z walks by because he sees somebody in like a fucking really fancy suit wearing just diamond studded Crocs, and it's pretty ridiculous. So Jay's had to fire a lot of people because they laugh at him as he walks by, and you know, he's a serious man. He's not gonna have people disrespecting him by laughing at him, but he's also not gonna
right.
take his Crocs off because his comfort's also very important to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Beyonce is getting pretty sick of it because, you know, she needs her man to look good head to toe, not just head to ankle. And these
right.
Crocs, no matter that they're studded with not blood diamonds, but just diamonds.
Right.
That doesn't help. They're still, at the end of the day, Crocs.
Yeah, and he keeps firing people they like need, like nannies and like maids, like people that really keep their lives together.
Yeah.
I heard that he made his first grilled cheese sandwich, though. He had to make something.
What?
He made it completely wrong, but he still called it grilled cheese.
What did he do?
So he put the cheese on the outside of the bread. So like two pieces of bread, and then...
Right.
So, yeah, you can picture that. It didn't really work. He was kind of just licking the pan, and then he burnt his tongue, and I could go on, but...
So he flipped the grilled cheese over while the cheese was on top of two slices of bread?
Yeah. There really wasn't anything holding together the bread either.
Yeah, I guess not.
In all respects.
So the middle piece of bread just stayed the way it was.
Yeah.
Did he ever once look down at that concoction and think something's wrong here?
I don't know. I mean, he's eaten a ton of grilled cheese in his day.
Right.
But somehow he doesn't know. He didn't get that.
Well, he's probably, I guess he's never made one on his own.
Yeah, exactly. Time.
Yeah. I like, there's an extra step somewhere in there that he thought he would take at some point, but he didn't realize he had missed it very early on.
Well, Lauren, how did you hear about this?
A friend.
All right.
I can't disclose. That actually wasn't my Jay-Z news.
Oh, you just knew that.
Yeah, no, I was just building on Chris's
news. Oh, you got double news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I know a lot. I have some good sources. So recently Jay-Z read something, I don't know where, because I didn't know he read much, but he's not stupid, I shouldn't.
He's just busy.
He has people that will just like read things for him.
Yeah, so he's reading about retirement and how you're supposed to have a certain amount saved up, and he realized he hasn't saved anything.
He hasn't saved anything?
Well, so he realized that, he later talked to his financial advisor who was like, no, you are pretty set. But he didn't believe him. And he fired that guy too because he laughed at his Crocs. So he did what most smart people do. He bought a piggy bank.
Okay.
And every day he puts one diamond in from his Crocs.
From his Crocs.
Yes, or from something else that he has. And slowly he's going to make his way to being set for retirement.
Wow.
Yeah. Or that's his plan, at least.
One diamond at a time.
Yeah. So, if you know anyone on the inside, that piggy bank, despite it's...
the most valuable piggy bank in the world.
Could you imagine that as a movie plot? we're gonna heist Jay-Z's diamond-filled piggy bank.
Well, now everyone knows about it. So, it could be like a race.
Yeah, I always get stuck with Jay-Z's stuff, though, like, the time I, like, had his pajamas. So I wouldn't be surprised if it just ends up in our car one day.
Sure.
He's always misplacing things. Very good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's some...
About Jay-Z.
We know a little bit too much. I'm afraid if he ever hears this.
He knows nothing about us.
You heard our theory that everything we say actually is Jay-Z's life. It's like a Stranger Than Fiction scenario.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Oh, sorry to think about, though.
Yeah, that's true. Someone could be doing it to you right now. Oh, shit. They're writing the most boring book of all time.
And then the couple moved to Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah, we didn't really talk about how I'm related here.
Oh, yeah.
Or where I come into play.
How do you come into play?
I am Travis's significant other.
Yes.
Domestic partner.
We're almost legally married.
Almost.
Or legally have the benefits of marriage.
Not really.
We're close.
How long?
Is it like 10 years?
I thought it was less than... I guess I don't know. It
oh, changes. You have to live together for like 10 years, don't you?
Is that really it?
I don't know.
Serious.
We're looking at you.
You're like, what, two-tenths of the way there? Coming up on three-tenths?
Okay, so you have to live it. Yeah, so I think we've lived together for like 2.5 years.
Yeah.
I think it's 7 years.
Cool.
I might be making that up completely.
We don't really know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But we are going to be sleeping in the same bed tonight. Let me put it that way.
Or...
Why do you think we live together?
Oh, I see. So we need to convince him. The sleeping in the bed together is the key part.
Yeah. That's where... Yes.
Okay. I see.
That's so Travis's subtle hint of intimacy.
Yeah.
Boyfriend, girlfriend.
Well, now everyone knows way too much about us. They know we sleep in the same bed.
Oh, shit, you're right. Well, I do end up sleeping on the couch a lot of times. Not because we have problems, because I have problems sleeping.
Don't tell me that.
See, this is why people listen to this show, because we're so open, and we give legal advice about...
We give legal advice.
Yeah.
Exactly. Very important information that's probably incorrect.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, but who do you want to go to for your incorrect legal advice? Some Joe Schmo or people that know Kanye?
Exactly.
Definitely.
Well, someday we'll meet him. Anyway.
One day.
So yeah, we're going to hear your story.
Yay!
It's so.
I've never thought of my life in terms of Kanye before, so this was kind of an eye-opening experience.
It's like literally the only way I think of my life now. My life revolves around Kanye, this podcast, when I'm going to be listening to him, what it means to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's getting out of hand.
It's taking on a life of its own, isn't it? At first, it was just a way for us to spend time together. And now...
We miss each other.
No, aren't
yet. Well, so when do you remember first listening to Kanye, or the first time you heard a song and you're like, oh, this is who is this? Is this Kanye?
So I think it's really hard. So I think the first time, when was Hurricane Katrina? I'm going to just start with that.
2005, August.
Okay. So, and when would...
That would have been late
Jesus
registration.
Come out.
I think that's 2004, 2003.
Okay. So I don't know which was first, but I know Jesus Walks was the first Kanye song I heard and knew it was him and like heard of him. But I didn't really know anything about him other than that. And then when Hurricane Katrina happened and all the other popular pop culture stuff, that's when I knew things about him.
And were they good things? Or were they bad things?
No, they were mostly bad. It was typical for the first...
And it was because you were a George Bush supporter, correct?
Oh, totally. Okay. 100%. My 14-year-old self was like, George Bush all the way. Who the hell is this Kanye guy?
Completely serious.
Not really.
Oh.
I just, it was all just like media perspective. I was very young and impressionable, so I just kind of listened to whatever.
Sure.
At what point do you remember your views on Kanye starting to shift from, oh, he's just that crazy... like arrogant guy that I probably don't like that much, but some of his songs I like to, oh, you know, Kanye is actually the voice of a generation and a genius.
So I would actually say it's been three stages of my Kanye liking. Number one was that, not really knowing anything about him, not hating him, but just like being like, who is this guy? He's kind of a dick.
Right.
Yeah, that normal stuff. And then I met Travis.
What?
I was like, you like Kanye? Weird.
And it wasn't just like, it was like Kanye's God.
Yes. And so immediately, like, I like Travis. So I was like, okay, maybe I have to give this guy a second chance. So I started listening to his music, starting with, I would like to start in the beginning on things. So I think I started with College Dropout.
I usually start at the beginning of like books and movies. Jumping in the middle always confuses me.
Sorry, I mean like artists. I like listening to their first albums.
I know you
mean. Making fun of me. So yeah, I remember very vividly listening to Late Registration at our gym on the elliptical.
So you, Late Registration was bigger for you than College Dropout.
I don't honestly remember.
Okay.
But
because at this point. I think Graduation and 808s is out.
Yeah.
But Late Registration is what you remember.
I think so. Gosh, it's so hard to remember.
Any particular songs?
Not really.
No? just remember Late Registration.
No, yeah, I think I just started liking Kanye because you liked him. Again, new relationship.
Right.
And I don't know. I did like the music a lot.
Get the Love Goggles on.
Yeah. But I didn't, I mean, I wasn't like totally 100% Kanye.
Right.
Like, and in love.
A big part of it for me actually was that Kanye was great workout music.
Mm.
So like I started enjoying him in that way.
And that's probably why I listened to it at the gym.
Yeah.
Although, yeah. God, then, I just copied you.
God, are you even your own person?
And then,
this is why we don't have women on the podcast, because they can't think for themselves.
Oh, snap.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, so I'd say that would be my second phase. And then my third phase was My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Ooh.
And actually listening to it and really, like, just realizing the stuff he was doing and, I don't know, the things he said. I didn't really realize he was a person. Kind of like parents. Like, you grow up and you don't think of them as people throughout your childhood.
And then you're, like, friends with them.
Yeah, and your friends are like, oh, my gosh, you have feelings? What?
You've been through this.
Yeah, so that was kind of the Kanye. And then I was like, wow, This is amazing. I've never heard anything like this.
Yeah.
And my life has changed.
Wow.
So it's been ever since My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, you've been full on the yay train.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like that. The yay train.
Oh, boy, motherfucker.
And so what's been your favorite album in the discography?
Definitely My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. I think I listened to that way too much.
Yeah, me too.
And it was somehow, it was like the perfect music for listening, like in any scenario. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the first time we listened to it was playing ping pong.
I remember this.
Travis played it for me.
This is one of my Kanye moments.
Oh, sorry. I stole it.
No, it's fine. I just think it's funny that a lot of my Kanye moments do involve you and like listening to things for the first time and like discovering certain, like looking at songs differently. But a big one for me was playing, like hitting play and Dark Fantasy coming on as we started playing ping pong. And I was like, you have to listen to this shit. It's amazing.
It was pretty amazing. Yeah, well, I hadn't listened. It was like a while after it came out and I hadn't listened to it yet. And I think it's when I like really like an artist, I always am just kind of afraid of listening to their new albums. So kind of procrastinated it.
Yeah, because you were on board by that point.
Yeah, I was on board. I just like...
You were worried.
Scared, I don't know.
No, mm-hmm. I get that feeling. Like, I was all about Shinedown, the rock band, for their first three albums. I was just like, man, this third Shinedown album, they finally hit their stride. Like, they're so fucking good. And their fourth album came out, and I was like, you've done no growth. This is exactly the same kind of songs, the same kind of music. This is so upsetting.
Yeah.
So now, often when a group that I like comes out with a new album, I'm always a little terrified that...
Yeah. Well, with Kanye, though, he reinvents himself, like, literally every time. So even if it's a disaster, which it hasn't been yet, like, it's going to be something new and different.
But that's kind of why it's scary, because it could go 100% the other way.
I think that happened with a lot of people for Yeezus, and then it's happening again with T-Lop.
Oh, yeah, Yeezus. I remember, no, that was, I was going to say our friend Micah. We were talking to him about it, but he always hated Kanye.
Yeah. Well, he's just going to hate.
He hated Kanye, but he liked the other albums. He just didn't like... It was very polarizing, that album.
Yeah. It's so crazy to me. We were looking at... There was some poll for this Kanye page, and almost everyone... My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was like the consensus number one pick, but then the next ones after that for people's favorite album were like College Dropout and Late Registration, and that just like, it's crazy that like people really get that attached to those albums, even though they're so amateurish in comparison.
Yeah,
they're way less cohesive and lack the depth. But it's funny because people really like the jam, the music that's going on, that soul.
Right. Totally
chopping off that soul. Well, so let's get into some of the moments. Do you have a top three Kanye moments, or just a few of your most memorable moments with Kanye?
So I guess I don't know how to rank them. That's difficult.
Just
because they're all pretty great.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite is definitely listening to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy in like our engineering lab or computer lab at school. Because like I said, I could listen to it at any time. So I listened to it when I was like doing difficult lab reports and things. And
I can't do that. I can't listen to like anything if I'm like writing or reading or studying.
I don't know. I'm totally opposite. It's like I can listen to it on different levels. So like obviously I'm not listening to the words. But I remember it was one of the first times after the ping pong incident. I don't know why it's an incident.
The ping pong incident.
And so I hadn't really like listened to the words, and Paranoid came on, and Chris Rock's part.
Oh, you mean Blame Game?
No, Blame. Oh, why did I think that was Paranoid?
Because Paranoid's awesome, and you want to hear it.
Well, yeah.
But you're talking.
But I am talking about Blame Game, and Chris Rock's part came on, and it was one of those polarizing moments where I was like, ah.
Yeah.
Like I don't know about this.
I had a friend do that, and she just thought like it was the most sexist song she had ever heard.
Yeah, and that was probably why. And so despite that fact, it was a very memorable moment because I was like, wow. And I love Chris Rock, and I really do love that song. And now I listen to it in a different light, but it was like, Damn. You went for it there.
I remember the first time I heard that track and I heard Chris Rock doing that, I was just like, this song is unlike any, not even rap song I've ever heard, but this is just music on a different level. To go from saying that, your phone called me back and I heard the whole thing, and then having Chris Rock and that conversation go on for what, like 2 minutes?
Right.
I'm still amazed every time. Like, I get that sense of the first time I heard that song and just being like, what is this? Like, who does this?
Yeah. Especially when you think of the fact that it, in any other context, it should be funny. But the funnier it is, the more tragic it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of genius.
Yes.
And it does kind of take you back because he doesn't have any skits. In an album, right?
That's true, That's the only one. He doesn't have skits and since Slave Registration.
Yeah, he goes away from them. So it was just, it's very different. And I don't know, it. I really love that song, including that part. I think there was a time where I skipped to the next song.
Yeah,
like,
I can see that.
And didn't listen to Chris Rock's part.
Yeah. I feel like I Love Kanye is the closest we've come to a skit with him in like a long time.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay,
so I think another one, I don't know if I'm going to have three, but another one is watching Runaway, the film in Travis's apartment. I don't know. I think it had just come out.
Dirty apartment.
Oh my gosh. The studio apartment that was like eventually the grossest place and I never wanted to be there again.
This was 2010,
11
probably. Yeah.
Almost 10. Yeah. But yeah, we decided it was... on Travis's bed, it was a studio, which was also a futon for my channel. It was a 100% IKEA furnished
apartment. Oh, 100%, yes.
Yeah. So we're sitting there watching, we start this movie. I think it had just come out, and we were really excited about it. Mm-hmm. We loved the album by then. And it was just, I don't know, it was something else.
It was something else.
It was also, I don't think I really watched Kanye videos much.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... And he wasn't in the limelight really back then.
Mm-hmm.
So it was seeing Kanye do this and I don't know, like acting, and I loved it.
I remember specifically the moment where Kanye's running and his shirt's kind of open. And I'm like, Kanye's hot. I remember this.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even
know. Now think of that, like, whenever we watch that part, that's what I think of. Because he really does, he's a great runner.
Oh, yeah.
He looks great.
He's done that for his, for a living.
Yeah, it's like, he's like Cary Grant. Like, it's like fucking, it's hypnotic.
Yeah. No, I love, if I'm going to talk about the parts I love in Runaway, which there are many, but that part is easily one of my favorites because he is committing so hard.
Right.
Like, I don't think I could ever run like that without being chased by like a lion. And he did it.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's so motivated.
He really is.
And that was one of the things that, like, I knew it from the album, but seeing him act, even though he's, like, not a good actor.
I kind of like him.
Well,
I know what you mean. He's not traditionally, like, great actor.
Yeah. But seeing him commit and everything, I don't know.
Have you seen that Nike commercial where he plays the bad guy?
No.
Have you seen that, Chris? Or not Nike, Reebok.
No, I've only seen him in the Kobe Bryant commercials.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Sorry.
Or in Big Sean. He's a pretty good actor in Big Sean's
video. Oh my god.
Video
I don't
for,
fuck with you.
I don't fuck with you.
Chris, have you seen this video?
No. This is,
oh
no.
As soon as this podcast is done, go search I Don't Fuck With You, Big Sean, and just be happy for the next 5 minutes.
You have to.
All right. I need to do that. Yeah, Kanye's acting is always just so earnest. I feel like everything he does is so earnest, but
right. You
see him in Runaway and it's a pretty ridiculous short film, but he's just like going so hard and trying so hard that it's beautiful.
Yeah, totally. Love it.
I think that's it. Those are the most notable.
Well,
okay. I have the most.
What was the thing that you two did the other night? The Kanye dance party?
Yeah, we got to talk about that because that's a huge Kanye moment. It was called the House of Yeezy. And it was literally an event where you just go. So basically you're surrounded by people who love Kanye West. And some DJ is just like at the beginning, he's playing Kanye, like Kanye guest verses, like songs he's appeared in, and he's just mixing them into other songs and like making his own like mix. And then it shifts into Kanye's songs, and everyone's on the dance floor, like dancing to like Through the Wire and like Paranoid. And he even played like Heard Him Say, which like people still dance to. It was like awesome. And then the entire album of Life of Pablo, and people just like, it was amazing. Like to have like everybody saying like, "We on that ultra light beam," like seriously, like a few couple hundred people doing that.
Yeah, it was so contrary to normal experiences with other people, right? Strangers about Kanye, because there's like with everyone, there's that moment like, do they hate him? Is this gonna be awkward for a second? But everyone there loved him.
Yes.
Or was like neutral, which most of the people loved him.
But like at least like his music. Yeah, I knew every single word.
And so you're just surrounded. It was like not like being at a family party because I didn't know any of them, but you just know they're all.
They fam, man.
In it with you. Yeah, it was awesome. So yeah, I was at a local concert venue. And it's pretty small, but it's sold out. And one of the other better parts was there was a projector, and he put together a sequence of like mix between videos and quotes and interviews, and everyone, it was so funny, just like everyone watching that and like silent.
Yeah, it was. It's the video they would play like if he was receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award.
It really was
an award ceremony.
Legit.
This sounds so amazing.
Yeah, it was put on by just some local guy who. Also organized the pizza club, the Minneapolis Pizza Club, and went to pizza camp last year.
He just does amazing things.
Yeah, he just like puts together events. It's like my dream to just do something like that and just do things that people will just be like, that exists?
Yeah, seriously.
I gotta do that.
I love this man.
Yeah, it was legit.
Holy cow. The closest I came to that was going to the movie theater for the Madison Square Garden show, Yeezy Season 3. So I bought one of the tickets and went to the movie theater. I was just like, who else is going to be here? Yeah, it's like it was a sold out theater. Just everybody was there, like packed in, piled in. And it was cool seeing everybody like decked out in Yeezy shirts and like trying to be fashionable because it's a Kanye crowd. Wearing like Kanye hats and like probably fake Yeezy shoes. But before the Madison Square Garden show started, they were showing camera shots from around the stadium, and one was just a floor level, and people would walk by and you could see their shoes, and somebody would walk by wearing like fancy shoes, and everybody in the crowd would be like, "Oh, look at those," and getting excited. So it was kind of cool to be in the theater with everybody that, as you're saying, was either neutral with Kanye or really liked Kanye, and that's why they were there. So Kanye's like saying a joke and everybody in the theater laughs rather than people being like, "Shut the fuck up!" Like,
exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? That is weird. Like, of all the people I know, all my friends, despite Kanye being gigantic, like I would say less than 1% of them like really like Kanye West. Like most of them probably hate him.
Yeah, they have some sort of qualm. They'll either say, the biggest thing, and this was part of like my second stage of Kanye, when I liked him but like wasn't fully on board,
right?
Where I would say, and this is how I've explained it to people, I love Kanye West music, he makes great music, but he's an asshole.
Right.
And like that, and so many people think that way, and I did, like I understand it, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's just been different, because like it's probably different for me and you, because we both like him and talk about him a lot, and we try to, instead of just getting mad at him, like we try to make sense of a lot of what he does.
Yeah, like in the wake of the Bill Cosby's innocent tweets.
Yeah, it's hard, like, oh, hard to defend that one, but
that's a wake Kanye what for sure.
Yeah, I feel like I was running around the Kanye subreddit being like, no, no, he didn't mean that. He was just, you know, he's trying to apologize for all the things that he said in fact. So he already talked about LeBron. He already apologizes to somebody else. So he doesn't seriously mean that Cosby's innocent. He's just saying shit, trying to like make amends.
We'll figure it out when we get him on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Top of the question right there.
So with Film Colossus, we're probably going to end up interviewing the director for Can You See Me Now 2? And that's the guy that directed the Justin Bieber documentaries.
Yeah.
So now it's like, yo, can you put us in touch with Bieber, who can maybe put us in touch with Kanye? And is that just a thing that you do for this person that you just met randomly and asked you 5 questions?
John Chu.
John Chu.
Yeah. I can't wait for that movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, outside of Kanye, that's a Lauren Chris Travis moment. That was the first movie we all saw together.
We did?
Now You Can See Me.
Do we see it in theaters?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, wait.
I forgot about that.
Now You Can See Me? I always forget the title.
Yeah, Now You Can See Me.
Because it's awful.
So,
you try to block it out of your memory?
It's like, well, it's not intuitive. It's like, what? It should, I don't know.
It needs Magic to be, time.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know. It's just not very magic related.
The Magic Heist Group.
Yeah, the oceans. I don't know.
The oceans of mystery.
Yeah.
So, any other Kanye stories that?
I don't know, Chris. You have any?
I first started getting into Kanye my senior year of college when 808s and Heartbreak came out. Like, Amazing was the song that really, or not Amazing, Heartless. Was a song that really got me like, oh, this is, I like this. This is resonating with me. But the first sort of, so I was listening to Kanye a lot that semester, but I still wasn't all on board. And when My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy came out, just driving around in my car that fall, winter, and just having the windows down sometimes and being able to play that, because it's Ohio, it's already cold in November and October, November, December, but being able to play that with the windows down, just bumping in my car and trying to learn the lyrics to Dark Fantasy and learning the lyrics to Power, that was pretty fun for me. Power was the first rap song I ever memorized where I could just rap it without any music or anything, and I just walk around rapping Power all the time. So that's, and then when Yeezus came out, I didn't know Yeezus was coming out at all. I didn't know he had been working on a new album. And suddenly, I don't know, Travis, if it was you that said something or I saw something on Reddit. And I downloaded the album immediately, but I had to go to a writing workshop in Iowa City. So I had to drive like 45 minutes. So I was listening to the album while I was taking a shower, and Blood on the Leaves came on. And I just turned off the shower because the music was so incredible to me that I just had to not have that, the shower noise blocking the music at all. And I just stood there like soaking wet, shampoo in my hair, naked in the shower, listening to Blood on the Leaves for the first time, being like, what the fuck is this? Oh, that made me so happy. Yeah, those are some of my favorites.
I think my favorite, and I think I've even said it on the podcast before, was that I remember that day when Yeezus came out, and we were texting about it. I don't know if I texted you first, but I ended up, like, I had to download it super quick because I was getting it on Greyhound.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to get it, like, on the computer, then onto my phone, and I was, like, trying to do all this stuff. And I finally got it, and it was like, it was one of those weird things where Yeezus didn't click with me right away, and I was listening to it on my headphones, and I couldn't listen to it super loud because, like, the headphones didn't keep all the noise in, so, like, other people would hear it, and I was, like, really self-conscious about it, so I never, like, I didn't get to hear it. And then when we, and then I got to Chicago to where Lauren was, and I was like, I'm gonna play Yeezus for her, like, in the car, and she has no idea that Yeezus is out. So I start playing it, and the beginning of the Onsite's going, and it's just like that, you know, the musical part, and it's just like, you're just like bobbing your head, and all of a sudden, like, Kanye comes in, Yeezy season approaching, and your face, like, made me so happy. You had no idea. And it doesn't sound like Kanye at all. Like, Onsite doesn't sound like any Kanye song.
No.
It just, like, it bumps like no Kanye song has yet. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think you remember it, I remember.
No, I don't. I don't know why. Why were you taking a bus?
We were going to fly to the Dominican Republic.
Oh.
And I had to get to Chicago for plan.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That still confuses me, but...
Sorry, I confused you.
But I do remember, I mean, like you're talking about, it is just a totally different album and is quite polarizing in the sound. So, like, associating Kanye with that song, like, with that beginning beat was very... that was, like, the furthest from my mind.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I remember... Yeezus and Pablo, the first time I heard him, I was just like, oh no, like, oh no. Especially coming out of the movie theater with Pablo, everybody was talking like, I don't think I liked that. And yeah. Now Pablo's so good to me, and Yeezus is incredible, but it's weird, as you're saying, Lauren, earlier about being scared the first time you hear these albums, like, did he finally miss? a sad moment that the three of us didn't get to have. We were all living in Iowa at the time, and Kanye was coming to Minneapolis.
Oh, that's right.
With Kendrick Lamar on the Yeezus tour.
Yes.
And we bought tickets. Lauren was going to surprise Travis for his birthday.
He did surprise me, actually.
Oh my God, it was
still going to happen when you gave me the tickets.
It was on your birthday. Travis had no idea he was coming.
I was so surprised.
Kendrick. And it was on a Tuesday night, so it was going to be like a 3-hour drive up and back. Yeah. So it was probably going to suck in that respect, but yeah. It was going to be so worth it.
Yeah.
I didn't even see it coming. I walked up to the... You just had him on the fridge. She had him like magnet to the fridge. And I was just kind of like in there. I think we were like going somewhere. Like, it was just like happenstance. I turned around and like saw it. And then, like, slowly processed it. Like, it did not click right away. It was just, like, pure confusion. And then, like, and then still, like, confused and, like, shocked, like, afterwards.
That would have been so beautiful.
Yeah, but then it got canceled.
Yeah, what?
The broken in a car accident, and the concert was canceled. Or the rest of the tour, right?
No, just a certain part of it, I think.
Yeah, they canceled a few shows and didn't make up any of the dates.
No.
Got our money back, but I don't want that money.
That's true. I remember back then, though, it was I didn't completely get Kanye yet, I think. Like, his persona. And I think I was probably mad at him.
Mm.
But now looking back on it, like, I think that's awesome that he, like, said, like, I'm not going to do it unless I can give you 100% what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know, I find that really admirable.
Yeah, artistic integrity.
Seriously. I was definitely mad at him. It's one of those moments. It's like, I have a few moments in my life that I like regret saying something or doing something. And like, every time I think about it, I'm just like, God, why'd I do that? And this is one of those, even though I had like no control over it, it's just like, it could have gone the other way. And we have this awesome night in Minneapolis.
Right.
And
yeah.
Seats. We got it on pre-sale. And now, like, I just think about it, because now he's going to go on tour and he's, I think, way bigger now, so it's going to be impossible to get tickets.
Good tickets, anyway.
Yeah, that just seemed like...
Yeah, that would have been perfect. And we would have seen Kendrick before Kendrick was Kendrick.
Totally.
Bruh. Violence for that. Lost.
It's as tough as it gets for us.
That's a low point. That's a low point. Well, so what favorite Kanye songs?
All right, I got top my five. List.
Do you have them in order?
I do.
Okay, go five up to one.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Okay, starting with five, New Slaves.
New Slaves. This is actually, we should have talked about New Slaves.
Yeah, this is a memory.
Lauren knows every word to New Slaves and sings them with the veracity that Kanye does. Like, yeah. I don't know why that song resonates with you so much, but you are just like all up in it.
That opening verse is just like, I love it so
yeah.
much. And then like everything about it is so good.
You really get into it. I enjoy watching.
And I love the I sing the beat.
She does a little
time.
Yeah.
Well, it's not it, but
it's adorable.
So yeah, that one. And I mean, I love the lyrics too. I just love the concept of that song, which I'll talk about.
Yeah, talk about it.
You want me to talk about it?
Yeah, talk about it.
Okay, so I think that song in its message is, I mean, super similar to All Falls Down.
Mm-hmm.
And just the concept of, I mean, the Black community and how they're, I guess my favorite line I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, we can talk about just one of your favorite lines comes from.
So from All Falls Down. Because they hate. Sorry, Jesus. Because they make us hate ourselves and love thy wealth.
Yeah.
And like I remember that was probably one of the moments in the beginning that I realized again that Kanye is like a person and like has thoughts and is deep.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just like put a whole new light to the struggles of black people to me. Like I never thought about it that way. And like, I don't know. And that song is very blatant in that message.
Right.
And I guess,
like as a white, cause like for me, when you say that, it makes me think like as a white person, I hear other white people basically say like, why do black people spend all this money on like these possessions? And to hear it from Kanye's perspective, he allows you to see it through a different filter. That basically, when he says like they make us hate ourselves and love their wealth, it's like the idea that's in Diamonds of Sierra Leone and what he's getting at New Slaves is the idea that it's what empowers them. It is like this weird dichotomy where like Kanye does kind of hate himself for doing it because of the people he's affecting in Africa with the blood diamonds and everything. But then it also ties back to the fact that he needs it to like give himself worth.
Because we've created this weird consumer culture where that's where we judge people by.
Right.
And that's where we've made other, not even races, but just culture, like the economic divide. We make people think that you have to have these things in order to be justified as a person,
mm-hmm.
or to prove that you've made it. So,
well, that's where I think the New Slaves comes into play so much because, I mean, black people went, not that I'm going to like, no, like have everything put piece together, but went from being slaves and like white people put them in such a place that they just wanted everything that they couldn't have.
Right.
And so now we're at this point where in order to have value, that's one of the main things is to have bling and everything.
Yeah.
So
New Slaves.
Yeah. New Slaves. And so like New Slaves was just for me, like a build on to All Falls Down that,
right.
Even put it in a new light and was definitely more angry.
Yeah, right.
Much more angry.
The real feeling behind it, because he does it and All Falls Down, but it's more copacetic.
Yeah, he spazzes on New Slaves. And you spazz with him.
I spazz out hardcore.
That build to where they talk about like Hampton, like Hampton spouse and the Hampton blouse and gonna tear everything down. It's such a beautiful crescendo for all of that anger and resentment and just like, fuck you all.
It really is.
Mm. All right.
I love that.
Number four.
Four is Spaceship.
Which is interesting.
Why is that interesting?
Well, just because Chris and I, that's a song Chris and I championed for a while.
Because
I think a lot of people forget about Spaceship when they think about College Dropout. I think they kind of go, We Don't Care and All Falls Down are great, and they probably skip a few to whatever, like Jesus Walks or whatever.
Yeah, I think for me, for Spaceship, it was more like the gap, the verse about the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Like putting Kanye in a part of my life, aside from like the whole Chicago reference, because I'm originally from the Chicago area. But I don't know, just picturing that. He put it all together for you in such a way that you could just see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a very clear image in my head. And I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah.
I think it's a roundabout way of getting at something that people don't usually do in music.
The plural of music. that's something we've talked about a lot is the fact that he's so universal. Like like anybody can listen to him and relate to what he's saying and like kind of picture themselves in his shoes.
Yeah. So, and aside from that, I love the chorus and that song. Thank you.
Who's the guy we can't stand in that? Consequence, I think.
There's two of them.
Yeah, I think GLC is the second guy. I like that song a lot. I just can't stand that third verse.
Yeah, the third verse gets to me.
Think of it right now.
But Kanye's part is great.
Yeah.
Totally.
So three is Monster. First experience with Nicki Minaj, really. And that was huge because I love her and she's amazing. And every time I listen to that, I'm like, God, just nailed it. But I also think just like even Jay-Z's part, I love.
It's my favorite Jay-Z verse that Jay-Z's ever done.
But yeah, I just love that song. It's so powerful and intense and yeah. Love.
Love. I love that part.
And I think I remember, did we have a memory where we would say that?
I don't know. With Chris, I don't know. I would always do it. We did it at the coffee. I worked at a coffee shop and we would always just like, so I worked in the back and like people who like Kanye would come in the back and just go, love, I don't get enough of it.
My guys, these vampires and bloodsuckers.
And then that part where he sniffs, I was like, I smell a mess. Like,
seems I definitely, that was another, like, I never really thought Jay-Z was all that great. And I heard that and I was like, damn.
He's all that in a bag of chips.
Delivered.
I'm glad I'm not the only buddy, like, only buddy, the only person that...
you are a buddy.
I'm the only buddy. The only person that inhales at that part in the song. Like, Marie will be, and I will be driving in the car and I'll be sort of, like, head nodding. And then he'll get to that part and I'll just be like, I smell a massacre. She's like, what? And I'm like,
that could scare someone if you're the passenger and you're just like,
you're like listening to your headphones and you're like walking by somebody in the street. And you just go like right in their face.
I smell a massacre.
Yeah.
Two, Ultralight Beam. And this is obviously a new edition, but it is amazing. Mm-hmm. We watch the SNL performance probably once every other day. And I love Chance. I'm like smitten by him.
Smitten's maybe not the right word. Extremely attracted to.
It's beyond that. Like, I don't even know that I like him that much physically. Oh my goodness. No, it's like with Kanye. It's just when someone's so real and like, I don't know, you definitely get the sense that they're being themselves.
Totally.
You don't see it very often.
You see how happy in that SNL performance, you see how happy Kanye is watching Chance perform.
Yes, yes, yes. Like, I love that.
Passing the mic off to him, basically saying like, you're the next big thing.
Yeah. That smile is like infectious.
Yeah. He finally dropped the smiling's not smiling thing.
Very nice smile. But yeah, beyond that, that song has so many pieces. I love The Dream. I didn't know that was him at first.
Yeah.
That made me really happy. I don't know. It's another song that builds wonderfully and is super passionate. But,
yeah. The chorus, the first time I heard it, just like I immediately started crying. Like I couldn't stop myself. That song to me is like life.
First song in, crying.
Yeah, I was crying right away.
It's beautiful, especially when you have like headphones on and you're listening to it and you just hear that chorus at the end, like faith.
Yeah.
Like, oh God. Right.
Number one. Runaway. All
hell
time.
Yeah.
For sure. Not a question.
Pretty solid. It's a solid song.
Yeah. So I am, to preface this, I'm a sucker for piano. I think most of my favorite songs have piano featured as the main instrument.
Yanni.
All of Yanni. Yanni was what did it for me. And I played piano. But yeah, I just... That one was the most real, I think, Kanye. And that one was the other thing that was kind of the turning piece in realizing that he's, like, thinking he's an asshole. And that whole perspective is just, he's an asshole, he knows it. Like, he's not just being an asshole to be an asshole. He's, I don't know. So that was super awesome. And then the video. I love that video so much.
Mm-hmm.
The colors and the ballerinas.
You really related to his Toast for the Douchebags line?
Totally.
Like, I get it.
Oh, totally. But yeah, I could listen to that song over and over again.
It's pretty great. One of the best music videos ever, easily.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that song always transports me. Like, the first time that I hear that piano key, it's just always a sense of I'm falling away from the world around me and just into emotions.
Right.
There's something really... I don't know. It's like soul transference.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's what piano does, man.
Did you? Oh,
it's just so like blatant, but also flow.
Yeah.
Did Travis tell you about the link that I sent earlier to this guy, Young Piano, who did 21 Kanye songs? He did 3 per album, and he's just playing them on the piano, transferring from one song to the next.
Yeah, we gotta watch that.
It's 13 minutes, all one shot, and it's just these gorgeous piano playing of Kanye music. And now I'm like, we need to get him on the show.
Oh yeah, we gotta get him on the show for sure.
Yeah.
And he knows piano.
Do you want to meet him?
All around great dude.
One thing I never liked about Travis is he didn't play piano. Perfect.
Well, and Travis, did you have Lauren listen to what Jordan sent us the other day? The Chance's brother doing Lowlights?
No, I actually haven't even listened to it. I'm bad.
Oh, it's pretty good. Yeah, Chance's brother, I guess, does a version of Lowlights where he incorporates a song into his own rap and music. And it's really, like, midway through the song, you're just like, this is so fucking nice. Like, yeah. I would put that on my iTunes as part of the album. Like, I'd remove Lowlights and put this as the new inserted Lowlights.
Well, that's Kanye's stain now, so he can if he really wants to.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. I really want to put Tyler, the Creator's freestyle for.
Yeah.
Onto the album, and I put St. Pablo onto the album.
Yeah, I like that. Where do you put St. Pablo?
I put it between No More Parties in L.A. and Facts.
Yeah.
So I guess not in the album proper, but near the end.
I feel like I would just replace Facts. I mean, like, I like Facts a lot, but... And I get what he's doing with the bonus section, but sometimes it still feels like it doesn't really fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it just because it's his own label and he's able to?
It's not even his label, though. It's under Def Jam.
I'm just wondering, like, if he had the opportunity with all of his other albums, would he have been doing the same thing? Or...
I don't know. I don't get it.
I'm just curious, like, the motivation, because, I don't know.
Well, Kanye's always really been into art. He's somebody that studied art, like, after, I think it was College Dropout into late registration, or maybe late registration to graduation, he just started going to poetry shows all the time and live poetry readings just to hear the rhythms, and he reads on shit all the time. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's gotten more into contemporary artistic styles and just thought, I want to do this with an album. Where yeah. Maybe when he was first doing College Dropout, he was traditional processes.
Mm-hmm.
And now as we've seen him get more avant-garde with his sound, he's getting more avant-garde with the entire project.
Yeah, and this allows him to get music out, like, right away. So he's like, you can see the unfinished product now, and, like, if he's trying to make it more interactive, like, you can watch me, like, make it better.
Yeah. Which is
the idea of it's great. I guess then it comes down to whether or not you feel like the changes he's making, which is something we'll get into.
Well, it's something you probably could have seen with Yeezus, too, because Yeezus was an entirely different album until the final couple days when Rick Rubin came in. Yes. And people have been trying to find the first version of Bound 2 for a while. They've had snippets of it and recreations of a version that was played. But could you imagine if Yeezus had been released a month before its finale and everybody had heard it the first time, and then Ruben comes in and he chops all that away, and you're just like, what is this? What's this new version of Bound 2? I wonder how people would feel. Would they just think, like, I like the original Yeezus?
Yeah, it is crazy to think about, like, because we grew so attached to T-Lop in the way it was, so now it's like, you really do pick apart the littlest of changes. Like, there's no way I wouldn't have thought Yeezus was amazing in whatever original, like, version it was. But then to hear that stripped down version afterwards would have been, like, really crazy.
It's shocking. It would have been shocking. Just the same way, what's the song? Feedback. You and Jordan are like, oh, Feedback isn't as good anymore because it took out some of those original sounds in it. But it now does sound a little more Yeezus-y.
Yeah, that's true. It does. Yeah, it's growing on me a little more. I keep listening to it just because I think Kanye just is amazing on that song.
Yeah. Well, and I like the bass that's on it now. That bass is...
It's cool.
Yeah. Well, do we have anything else?
I have...
Favorite line?
Yeah, favorite line in We Kanye 1.
Yeah.
So which So one of them was the All Falls Down line.
Yeah, because I made it.
But then you have another one that is like your favorite.
Yes, I believe this is my favorite. So from Monster.
Monster.
Which makes sense. So the, basically, I guess I don't know if it's everything or there's certain parts that are better, but the Have You Ever Had Sex with a Pharaoh? I put the pussy in a sarcophagus. Now she claimed that I bruised her esophagus, head of the class. She just wants a scholarship. And that's kind of where it ends. But then I love the next line. I'm living in the future, so the present is my past. The present is a present. Kiss my ass.
It's pretty great.
So good.
So good.
But I just, I love the sarcophagus, esophagus, and swallow shit.
Yeah.
I remember when I explained swallow shit to you, you didn't realize
I don't
it
know
was
what the
scholarship.
Fuck. I don't know what the fuck I thought it was, like, or I didn't, like, understand the word, but yeah, you did have to explain that to me.
Yeah. I don't know does that even fit in with the song? Kind of does, but I just love it isolated.
It'll be interesting to talk about that song, because Kanye's part in that is kind of weird.
It's all over the place.
Keep in line with what Jay-Z and Nicki are doing.
I mean, they take it much more fantastic, where Kanye might just be like a literal, like, crazy person monster kind of thing. Like, I'm just a monster of a person. Like, call it Malibu, yeah. God damn, Yeezy, how I hit him with the new style.
I do love it. It's great.
Yeah.
And
then my Wait, Kanye, what? So this is from No More Parties in LA. The line where it says, I'd be worried about my daughter, I'd be worried about Kim, but saying his baby yay, I ain't worried about him. And every time I hear that, I'm just like...
Does not see himself in North.
Like, shaking my head. Well, it's more, it's just like, A, it doesn't make sense because he's the youngest and the one who would actually be... what's the word?
Needs care for?
Yeah, like, needs the most help and is the most vulnerable. So it just makes no sense on that level.
Yeah.
And I also just think it's sexist. So
it is very sexist.
It's
uncharacteristic of Kanye, despite what people say about him. Yeah. That line to me is uncharacteristically and blatantly sexist.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of understand what he's saying, but I just don't think it...
I don't think it comes from a sexist place. I don't think he's meaning to be.
Right, yeah.
But it's just... it's just not the same, I think.
Yeah, because you know that he's probably saying, like, you know, he's going to be like me, so I'm not worried about him at all. But then it's like, oh, your successful wife that's, like, honestly probably more popular or more... Maybe she's not more popular, but she...
I'd be better at money.
Yeah. I mean, she's amassed her reputation and everything on her own. I mean, regardless of how she got there in the beginning of it, but she still did it before she met him. And he's worried about the daughter that could be like her. It sounds like she's going to be pretty successful, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? I realized this. My friend let me borrow Kim's new book. It's called Selfish, and it's just a collection of all the selfies she's taken in the last 10 years. And it made me realize she was taking selfies before I knew what a selfie was, which means she's been branding herself from day one. Like, and that's what amazes me about her is her ability to brand herself. Like, that cannot be taken lightly. Like, she does it better than anybody.
Yeah. What year did that go back to?
2006.
Was that when Keeping Up the Kardashians started?
Is it?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I know that she was friends with Paris Hilton. And watched Paris Hilton become, and she was the assistant for Paris, and she watched Paris use the reality TV stuff to become, like, as powerful as Paris became of a brand, and just did that to the next level.
Right.
So she definitely knew what she was doing.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
We need a Kim podcast.
Yeah, we gotta get better at doing Kim news at the end.
Yeah.
Because she probably has more going on than Satan North.
Possibly.
We just like talking about Satan North.
Yeah, we should do Kim news. I like Kim. I think all the sort of outrage over her doing the naked photos that aren't even her naked is ridiculous.
So stupid.
I get so angry. Like, you're a mom. Like, there are women.
Rats can suck it. Like, that is so stupid.
They're moms on billboards, like, wearing topless stuff and covering their breasts and jeans. And it's like, oh, that model's a mom. Are you going to tell her not to do her job?
Yeah, it's like, so stupid.
God damn it. Well, is that's it.
That was my story.
Well,
story.
Yeah.
Just
you can't do that around a Kanye fan.
I was thinking, is there a name for Kanye fans? Like believers? Does Kanye have one?
Westies.
Westies.
I like the H-man.
They call them on Hip Hop Heads and the Kanye subreddit, they call them Ye stans, but that's not very.
That sucks.
Yeah.
No, we need something better. I'm gonna brainstorm.
All right. We'll get back to it.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Well, next time we have Dark Fantasy.
Yeah, we're actually gonna do it next time.
Exciting.
That's going to be pretty big. That's a gigantic leap for Kanye.
Can I come in and do the intro, which is...
you might pick
Sam. Yeah, the British woman.
Is it Nikki?
Is it Nikki? I thought it was.
I think
it's Nikki. Sure. Yeah, if you just want to come in and say that at the beginning of the podcast, absolutely, or at any point in the podcast. Podcasts want to walk in and do that speech, that is...
You can come on for the episode if you want.
Okay. I can just come downstairs while you're recording it.
If you want that episode, you can save it for another episode, but for a song you like more.
I'll give it a little breather.
Okay. Yeah, each of you is I can handle it, but, like, everyone else?
Right.
I don't know.
All right, okay. You too.
You're welcome.
This was fun. It was nice to talk to you, Chris.
Yeah, it was nice to talk with you. And then hopefully you two come down to Austin soon.
Yay!
Let's do it.
And all right. Thank you to Lauren for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. All right.
You're very welcome.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.